Morning, happy Sabbath. The scripture reading today comes from Genesis 19, 12, and 13. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we shall destroy this place. Because the cry of them that waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it.
Good morning, happy Sabbath once again on this beautiful sunshiny morning. Welcome to everyone today, brothers and sisters, visitors and members and everything else. And yes, Ginger, that blessing that God can give us with that glittering rainbow this morning here, but we look to the great promise that he gave to Noah, that never again with that bowl, never again with water. The promise is the covenant given to Abraham and then to Moses and to his people and to us today. That covenant that will never be broken, even amidst all the chaos and everything that is going on in today's world. We know that things are looking bad. Every place that we look, it doesn't look very good. But yet we know that God is out there. He wants us to be working for him to bring people into his covenant relationship. That is our work, to do that. And we know that we can do that through Jesus Christ and through the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So I just pray that as we listen to the words today, that God will be with each one of us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct each one of us. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, yes, the promises that you have given to the people of old, and those promises are true today, Father. We thank thee especially for the promise of the Savior who came the first time and he would come again the second time in all of his glory to collect his people, to spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption. And we pray, Father, that we will be able to have that pleasure and that guidance and that direction right now in our lives here upon this earth as we try to do the work that you have given to us, Father. And we know that through the Holy Spirit we may be able to accomplish mighty things for thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, as I said today, we know that there are people out there searching and looking for God, looking for answers amidst all the chaos that we have. And really, there's three main things people are going for today: pleasure, treasure, and success. That's all that they go, and they're going to get it any way they can, no matter what. You know, I wonder if there's just such a thing as still in place of an old-fashioned sinner. In today's modern society, anything goes. That nothing is withheld. You know, everything is permissible. Do that. You know, a person drinking to its success is not a sinner. It's okay today to do that. That's their privilege to do that. The prodigal son was living today, he would just probably be just a juvenile delinquent, you know, in a burst of youthful exuberance. Liars are not condemned as liars even today. Adultery may be considered a sin in most society, but we know that in modern day society, in mainstream society, it is not today. It's okay. Everything is okay. For those people, it just might be a night or a day of fun and frolic. The sex offender is about rebelling, you know, and can't be blamed from anything that he does. Society must be blamed for permitting the social evils of society today that are caused the revolt there to happen, where everybody is revolting today. Today we call good evil and evil good. So we just know that the truth, there is only one way to get that truth for each one of us, and that is to get back to the Bible and to the Ten Commandments. Start calling sin by its right name. We know that God is not mocked, and that one day every person will answer and give account to God for the sins that they've committed. And there's one text in the Bible that fits this thing perfectly. I read it as Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. These three words make up a very short sentence coming from the lips of Jesus. And there's a solemn warning in these three words: remember Lot's wife. But if you would immediately take a look at 2 Peter 2:6, 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And then 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's all that we need to see that. And then reading the verses just preceding Luke 17:32. Don't need to turn to there, but you can see that Jesus was talking about these last days that we're living in. The end of the world. And Peter says it plainly that the punishment given to Sodom and Gomorrah was for a warning for us in these last days. That we're burnt for an example to all future ages. So we look at this story of the tragic life of Lot's wife. And we know that it is worth studying. And so let's go to Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13. Where it starts. We can trace the tragic story here as its warning for us. We see that Abraham, the patriarch, was called out of idolatry over in the Ur of the Chaldees. He was summoned to separate from his family and was given Canaan for an inheritance. We know that Lot, Abram's nephew, went with him to Canaan. Both men were prosperous and they had mighty flocks, but that in that country they couldn't sustain all of them together, their possessions. And that was in verse 6 of chapter 13. And then in verse 9, we read, so Abraham generously suggested to Lot to look over the country and pick out the part that he wanted. So we know that what Lot picked out. You'll settle there and I'll take what's left. Abraham was willing to take the rest of the land that God had promised him. The Bible says that Lot looked out towards the plain of Jordan. And he saw that it was well watered and it was fruitful, almost as the garden of the Lord was. So he chose all of that. But we know that it ended up to be an unfortunate thing for him to do that, because there was those wicked cities in that plain of Jordan. And it was read this morning in Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that was the beginning of the sorrow for Lot's family. Sodom was a wicked city already when Lot settled there, with little hope of raising his children in the fear of the Lord. Life looked easy down there in that plain, in those cities. It was warm year-round, but then the trouble with Lot's choice was that it offered only a temporal prosperity. It was sure to lead to spiritual destruction. As we continue to read the story, we know that had Abraham settled in the rest of the land, and he was able to prosper in that. But then if we would turn to chapter 18, Genesis 18, we continue there with this story, especially verses 16 through 33. One day Abram was surprised by the visit of messengers of doom. Angels from heaven came down to wreak havoc on Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see that even the Lord came too. Because we can read there in Genesis 20 and 21 what he said to Abraham, 20 and 21. And the Lord said, because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the city of it, to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." This shows God's personal interest in mankind. And we believe that Abraham immediately thought about Lot and his family, thought about the others that Lot might have influenced to accept the Lord. And as we continue to read through these verses, we see him asking the Lord about if there was righteous people in that city. He starts out with the number 50. And if he works his way down to the number 10, and if there were only 10 righteous people in that city, would God spare them? And God said he would. In verse 32, "And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure, 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Well, it was destroyed, so there must have not have been even 10 righteous people in that city. Will you spare that city? And God said he would. The long suffering of God. That's one of the things that we can be thankful to God, his long suffering, along with his patience and his gentleness and his goodness. He'd spare those wicked inhabitants if there was just 10 righteous people there. If there were 10 righteous people here today in this church, would God spare? We are all righteous in the sight of God. We have given our hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this testimony to the low spiritual influence that Lot was able to have in that city was for fraud. And I was just wondering if how many wicked cities today would have been spared, or would be spared, or be destroyed long ago. But for God, knowing that there are righteous people in those cities. Some people say that people in cities are destroyed because of sin. And we know that that will be true in the very end. We know that the two angels turned towards Sodom and Gomorrah and hurried there on their mission of destruction. And then chapter 19, where you see much of the tragedy. Lot, being an official in the city, sat at the gate in typical Oriental fashion. And that was a custom for the leaders to sit there. And he hastened to the angels that came into his sight. He invited them in for the night. He was showing true Christian courtesy. For he didn't even know these angels, just as Abraham did not know the angels that came to him. We can picture in our minds the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah as we look at the world today. And I look at that wicked attack on Lot's home by the inhabitants of that city. The angels certainly saw that the city had filled its cup of iniquity. Angels from heaven were visitors in that city, but they were treated like the vilest degenerates. God's book makes it very clear: a city, a nation, an individual is permitted no more than a certain amount of iniquity. And when his record is written in the book and ended, God's vengeance falls. And we know that the end of this world is almost here, and God's vengeance is going to fall. The Holy Spirit is withdrawn, and the people have no more desire to respect anything, and they turn to sin. Woe to anyone that continues to presume that any time he can turn to God, for we know that that's not possible. We have to do it now, today. We can't wait till tomorrow. We have to get that message out to people today, that they have to give their hearts today before it is too late. what people continue in a pathway of sin, disobedience to God, in which we know that any form of rebellion is a sin, even when they know that it is right. The cup of iniquity filled with God's wrath. And it's unmixed with mercy. There's no mercy in God's wrath. And it will fall on the world very soon. We can imagine just how startled Lot was when these angels told him in the darkness of the night the plan for the destruction of the city. Here this city, this place that Lot had picked out to live in, was going to be destroyed. But then they ask him, as our scripture reading for today, if there was any one-loves who were outside his home. And let's read that again in Genesis 19, verses 12 and 13. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we would destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot was knowing all too well that his children were not living the life in living right with God. So he hurried out of his house to his children home to give them the warning that they might be able to go with him. And we read that in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord would destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And that is the way it is. The man's pathway into sin, God's solemn warning that comes to him, is mockery. But we know that God is not mocked. We probably all have loved ones that have not given their hearts to God. Some of us have children that have not given their hearts to God. We know that angels today are trying to hasten our loved ones to accept the Lord Jesus Christ so that they won't have to suffer the destruction that is coming upon this earth. Lot's children scoffing at that their city was going to be destroyed probably agonized Lot very much. This was the last pleading that these people would have. Their doom was sealed. No mercy no longer waited for them. And that is the way today, at the point where mercy will not wait for any of us that have not given our hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ. When morning came, the angels tried to hurry them away. We read that in verses 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. While he lingered. How many people are lingering today? Lot couldn't bear to leave his home. And we can read that. Ellen White says that Lot was paralyzed. Lot was paralyzed by the great calamity about to occur. He was stupefied with grief at the thought of leaving all he held dear on earth. And there's many people out there today that are clinging to everything that they have. It's so dear to them that they will not lose it. They'll do everything they can to keep it. And we know that everything that we have is going to be not, it's going to be destroyed. We take our character to heaven, and that is all. But as they do that, the angels almost had to take them by force and hurry them out of that doomed city. And as we read and continue through the verses there, we see that Lot's wife evidently almost preferred to remain with her children. Her love for them was greater than the love that she had for God. And that probably will come to us today also. But then we hear the words again, remember Lot's wife. Verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And as we continue to read there in verses 20 through 23, Lot begged to be given the privilege of going into another little town close by. The name of that town was Zoar. Here he was told to flee to the mountain. And if he had fled to the mountain, would he have lost his life, his wife? If he had done what he was told to do, what would the outcome have been? But the angels granted his request. And their last warning to him was, look not behind thee. God had been merciful to them. He had miraculously spared them from the doom of the city. And the same with us today, as God delivers us from sin. His warning is the same. Look not behind thee. Let's not turn our back to sin ever again. We read that in verse 23 and 24. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. The moment that Lot entered the city limits of Zoar, God's judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 25 continues, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Abraham was able to look and see all of that destruction. Lot's heart was still in Sodom. Lot's wife's heart was still in Sodom. But here his body was almost in the city. And if we would turn back to Luke 17. We're not going to read any of those verses there, but we see that, say that. And so some of the people say, well, what was so terrible about Lot's wife turning back or looking back? And we see that there's more to that story than that. First of all, the angel plainly warned them not to look back. He knew it was hard enough for them to leave their loved ones, to be separated from them, knowing that they're going to be lost. It must have been agonizing to both of them, to the family, to realize that their family was going to be destroyed. And the same with us today. We agonize over our children, over our loved ones, knowing that if they don't give over their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late, that they will be lost. But Lot, and there in Luke 17, makes it clear that Lot's wife did more than look back. As we read the chapter, we see that the warning about the coming of Christ and that what this chapter is about, that we see Jesus even foretells his second coming. He refers to the time of the flood and to the dark destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the warnings that they give to us these last days. He warns us that when the time of trouble breaks upon this old world and his children have to flee the city for safety from the wicked ones that are going to destroy them, as we can see in verses 31 and onward, and he puts it, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. And that was a fatal mistake that she had made, according to Jesus. She started to return back. Even after God had miraculously spared their lives, she seemed to still blame him for the destruction of her family, who had turned to the world, and she determined to return back. And instantly from heaven, the judgments of God fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And judgment fell upon her, and she became a fossilized monument to God's judgments. We know that we have to come out of this world of sin. And once we are separated, not to turn back to sin, not to turn back for anything. And this is the hardest, as I have mentioned, as it was for Lot's wife, not even for the dearest one on earth. For we know that it will be fatal. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Sodom, it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It was a narrow escape for Lot and the rest of his family. That wicked city had lived its vicarious life right up to the end of its eternity. And Jesus says the very same day that Lot stepped out of Sodom, that God destroyed it. So what will it be for each one of us? Will it be worldly? The pleasure, the treasure, the success? Or will it be spiritual? Pleasure, serving God, treasure, the Holy Spirit dwelling within each one of us, or success, eternal life with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us not look back. Let us go forward in everything that we do and say, knowing for sure that God has prepared everything for us and it's waiting for us. So I just pray that each one of us, that we will be able to meet on a sea of glass one day soon and spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, the opportunities that you give us to be your children. We know, Father, that we have to look forward. We cannot look behind. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and an eternal life, the righteousness that we may wear upon our shoulders because of the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we know that judgment will fall. But if we have prepared our hearts and if we have helped others prepare their hearts for that coming, for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer of the world, we know that we will be fruitful and that we will not have to worry about the rocks falling upon us. And that when Jesus comes, we will be caught up in air with the rest of the saints to be spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption. Thank you, Father, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.